Welcome to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. I'm your host, Whitney Shio.
And I'm your host, Pesa Shio, Whitney Shio's husband.
He likes to announce to the world that he's my husband. Isn't that nice? This is the place where we believe that every single marriage has the chance to not only be awesome and fulfilling, but long-lasting.
Yes, every marriage has a chance to be awesome and also to be fulfilling. And that does not mean that you won't have any problems or any issues going on. But at the end of the day, there's a chance that there's hope that your marriage will be awesome and also fulfilling.
Absolutely. We've been together for 13 years and we have 4 children. And ladies and gentlemen, we have been through some of the highest highs and the lowest lows, but we are here for you guys. We're here to help you experience more highs than lows. The theme for today is, what path are you on?
Yeah, what path are you on? What path is your marriage taking? Are you on a path to greatness or are you on a path to being mediocre?
Or a path to destruction.
Oh.
That's not fun either.
No.
Well, first I would like to start off by saying that in business, we say that you need to have a vision so that you know where you're headed. You need to know from the beginning what your destination is.
Yes.
And I would like to borrow that philosophy for just a moment and apply it in the context of marriage.
So you're saying that a marriage is a business? Is it like, are you comparing like marriage to business transactions? Or I thought marriage is all about love and just following your heart.
Well, no, following your heart is definitely not the best decision because you'll be following your feelings. And
Which is a good thing, right?
No, because naturally our feelings have a lot of ups and downs, and they change very quickly.
So, what should you follow then?
Well, a series of decisions is what determines the destination you're headed for.
Okay.
And some people might be like, okay, well, that sounds like a no-brainer.
Yes.
Thank you for stating the obvious.
Oh, Captain Obvious.
You can call me Captain Obvious for sure. So a series of decisions is what will determine your outcome and what will determine the destination that you're headed for.
Okay.
So in marriage, if you start asking yourself questions like, What kind of life do I want to have with my spouse?
Okay.
Do I want to have a life filled with peace?
Yes.
Do I want to get along with my spouse?
But it seems like we all want that.
Everybody wants that.
Yes.
But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because a lot of times what happens in life is we can want something and no matter how badly we want it, sometimes the opposite is what we end up doing.
Okay.
Or the opposite ends up happening for us.
Yes.
And it's not fun. Mm-hmm. So I saw this quote on Twitter the other day, and it said, a formal education helps you earn a living, but self-education is what gives you a life.
Okay.
So,
by the way, for those who would want to follow us, we are always on Twitter.
Yes, we're everywhere. Yeah. We're
everywhere. We're even in your house right now.
No.
So, yeah, we're on Twitter, and you are at Whitney Shio,
mm-hmm.
and I'm at Pesa Shio. Mm-hmm. But to get back to the quote that you read from Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was someone else's quote. This wasn't mine.
Okay.
But it reminded me of the middle class script.
By the way, what was the quote again?
So the quote is, a formal education helps you earn a living, and a self-education is what gives you a life.
Okay.
Which basically means that if we follow the middle class script of finishing school and getting our dream job, we almost, in a way, we stop learning. which is very unfortunate because it leads us down another path.
Okay, but what does have to do with me being married?
With being married, it has everything to do with being married because every decision you make in your life puts you on a path.
Yes.
So maybe I shouldn't have mixed this up so much. Maybe I shouldn't have talked about the middle class.
No, I love when you mix things up.
It might sound confusing. But the point I want to make is someone asked me a question on the blog the other day. And they said, you know, your advice sounds great and everything, but what do you tell to someone whose husband just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, filed for divorce? And just all of a sudden said he doesn't want to be married anymore. What do you tell that person?
What do you tell that person?
So my response is, didn't they know that they were on a path? And some people might say, okay, that sounds really insensitive. That is not what you say when you hear something like that. I would feel sorry for them because they're going through that. I would feel really sorry just because that's extremely unfortunate.
Okay.
But I would feel even more sorry for them because they were unaware of the fact that they were on a trajectory that led them to that conclusion.
Okay.
So that's my whole point. That was where I was taking this. And
So you tell them that tough luck.
No, I don't ever tell people that. That's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say is that you have to constantly fight off the path of ignorance.
Okay.
Because we all have that in us. If we don't make the effort, things have a tendency to go south by themselves.
Yes.
Unless you keep things up and running in the right direction.
So, but you won't keep them running in the right direction if you don't even know what direction you're going.
Yeah, yes. So if you don't have that clear vision or that direction that you want to go, your series of habits are going to take you somewhere. Yes. You are still making decisions. And so some couples have a tendency to fight more than others do.
Yes.
And which we all fight. We all do. But the truth is, the unfortunate truth is, there are some couples that they have these keywords that they'll say to one another that spark an outrage.
Like,
for even we have them.
Okay. Like, give me an example. Give me an example.
I don't want to give an example right now, but...
Why? Because we wouldn't be able to finish this podcast?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a long list. I have a cold, by the way. So.
No, that's my keyword. You just say the keyword.
Yeah, because you told me before we started recording to not say that I have a cold, but I have a cold. And I took Zyrtec.
I took Zyrtec too.
But you take them for fun. Oh, right. It's called allergies. I have zero tolerance for allergies. People are like, you obviously don't know what it's like to live with allergies. Okay.
Do you remember my friend who has so many allergies that he even had to take shots?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like fun. I'm sorry for that.
Let's see.
I just can't wait for this cold to be over. So far, I've only had it for like a day, but I'm already done with it.
It feels like you've had it for more than a day because I've heard about it.
You heard about it.
I've heard about it for like...
So let me ask this question.
Okay.
What kind of trend do you want to start in your family?
I want a positive trend.
Okay. And... what I mean by that is, how much would you want your grandchildren to admire you? Or how much would you want them to follow in your footsteps?
What if you don't have kids?
And so that's not the point. Some people might even be like, Whitney, that sounds really ridiculous because I cannot control the decisions that my grandkids make.
Yes.
But what I want to let you know mm-hmm. is the pastor at our church shared this really cool story with us about his family. And my argument is, yes, you absolutely do have control over that because you can influence. You have the power to do that.
Okay.
And what happened in his family is they all come from Texas.
Okay.
And back in the 20s and 30s, his grandma was born into a family, a very, very, very poor family. And they lived out on a farm somewhere. And I think when she was about 14, she got married.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that tells you there's some issues going on. I don't want to say issues, but that tells you there were some difficult times.
But I think back in the day, that was normal.
They were going through some rough times. Mm-hmm. She had 9 children.
Yes.
So the husband that she married was abusive and he was an alcoholic. And he wanted absolutely nothing to do with going to church or anything. And she also was not a believer herself. And this is not about... I'm not going to get into a huge religious rant here or anything. This is just a story that I wanted to share because of the power of influence.
Okay.
So she somehow started going to church and she became friends with the pastor and his family and she started reading the Bible a lot. And then for her, out of her 9 kids that she had, I think 4 of them ended up being pastors.
Whoa.
And then now she has grandsons who are pastors. And
I think, yeah, some of them are also in the ministry who are no pastors, but they are singing mm-hmm. and leading praise teams and all that.
Yeah, so the ones who didn't end up being pastors, they're either missionaries or they have something to do with God. I mean, like their profession mm-hmm. is actually, like they have basically dedicated their life to
God.
To God, which is really cool because her husband would get so mad at her that he would abuse her for if she talked about church, like around the dinner table, if she had the kids pray and things like that, he would become so mad and he would fight against this path that she was trying to put her family on. And so, because their family had a history of alcoholism and physical abuse, but she was clearly trying to switch direction. And so, finally, right before her husband passed away when he was like 90, that's when he became a believer. So, it took her that long to get him to see where she was coming from. But the point I want to make is they call her a game changer in their family. Mm-hmm. And so our church today has 10,000 people who attend every weekend, which is, I think, is really...
It actually feels like more when you're in the parking lot.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. And the reason why that's a big deal for us is because our city is not that large. Our city is not that big. So for one church to have 10,000 people attending, I think that's a big deal.
Okay, yes.
And so her grandson, who's the pastor, has impacted not only myself and my family, but 10,000 other people in our community.
And that's all because of the great grandma.
Mm-hmm. All because one woman decided to take this path.
Yes.
So... I just think, and I mean, she had to really fight to make this happen.
Yes.
And so when I go back to that question, what kind of trend would you like to start in your family? You do have the power. You do have control because your influence is a lot stronger than you might think it is.
Yes, you do.
So all you need to do is decide. And you might be a game changer. In your family.
Yes, you might be. And do you have a story like that in your family?
I don't think I really have a story like that in my family.
And you know, the crazy thing is, you just gave the positive aspect of that story where, mm-hmm. like, somebody was able to change the family tree,
mm-hmm.
in a way that we consider very positive.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we, if you quote-unquote don't have, you haven't made that decision to actually do that positive change and actually influence your family in that positive way, by essence, you are also doing the same thing, but on the other side. You are, mm-hmm. like, on the negative side.
Right.
So you are actually putting your 2 cents, your influence, and it's on the other negative side.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
and then you will be wondering why your kids and your grandkids, and like, things are just going crazy. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying...
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put so much emphasis on the fact that you literally have control of generations and generations, but in generations.
Mm-hmm.
But your story just shows us that it is possible,
mm-hmm.
to change, mm-hmm. the family tree. Like, literally, the family was going one,
mm-hmm.
way,
mm-hmm.
and somebody did something, and the family starts going the other way.
Right. And just the words that we use when we talk.
Mm-hmm.
Really influence our relatives, because you can have certain beliefs that spread throughout, yes. the family.
Yes.
And so do you know anyone in your life who always has something going wrong? Like, and I don't mean like just something, not something small. I mean someone who just has a lot of drama all the time, and they have these major catastrophes that just blow up on them regularly.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've heard gurus talk about it in a way that I'm not really sure what I think of it, because I've heard them say, like, oh, I just want those people to stay away from me because I don't want to catch what they have. I don't...
You know, yeah, Les Brown was saying that.
Yeah, Les Brown says that. He says, get away from me. I don't want what you have. And then I think also Grant Cardone says that too. Like, he'll say, like, okay, we cannot be friends because, mm-hmm. you just have too many weird things going on, and you have to make things right before you can come back and hang around me. So, and when I hear that, it sounds harsh sometimes, because we can get into that belief, like, oh, but it just happened, it's not my,
yeah.
fault. I mean, this thing was dumped in my lap, what, yeah. am I supposed to do?
Something happened to me.
So and so, my ex, is a nut and they're bothering me.
Yes.
It's not my fault, or, yes. just whatever the case is. But some of the words that I want to use, I have a group of synonyms here that I made a list of. And, mm-hmm. if that's not nerdy enough, I'm just going to go ahead and start reading them to you.
Yes.
Trends, tendency, habit, belief, path, trajectory. What, do you have any words that you could add to go along with those?
Yes.
Because I would say also decisions and choices.
Yes, I agree with you. Decisions and choices. So, trends, trajectory, habit, beliefs, paths, mm-hmm. decisions, and trajectory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So, thank you for your help. Anyway, the whole point of that is to show that there's usually a theme,
yes.
that you can have in your life. You can have a theme of positivity.
Yeah.
You can have a theme of pessimism.
Yes.
And it becomes a snowball effect.
And I was actually thinking about what the story about the pastor's grandma, because, mm-hmm. you also told me the story. And we'll get back to that, the theme and path, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and trends and all that.
Yes.
But you had told me about some dude back in the day in England,
mm-hmm.
who had like, what's the guy's name? Mm-hmm. The guy who had like created like this charity and it's mm-hmm. helping people for 600 years. What's the guy's name?
Yes, there was a story that I read the kids the other day during our homeschooling session, and it was called Dick Whittington and His Cat. So I just thought it was a made-up story, but come to find out, it's true. This guy has a Wikipedia page.
He's That's great.
So he basically what happened is back in the 1300s in England, Richard Whittington was born very, very poor, and his mother and father both died. So he decided that he would move out of his small town and go to London, hoping that he would be able to find work. So when he arrived in London, you know, he was basically on the streets, and everyone passing by was so mean to him, saying that he was lazy and everything. And then finally, a wealthy businessman found him and said, you know, I just feel really bad for you, so I'm going to take you in, and you can do some work around my house, and I'll pay you. I'll give you room and board for it. So he did. And then one night when he was sleeping up in the attic, Richard Whittington, who was still a little boy at the time, had mice running all over him as he was trying to sleep. So he took a penny the next day and bought a cat. So the cat ended up getting rid of all the mice and everything, and that was great. But then, as the story goes on, the businessman was going to trade a bunch of goods by taking a ship to some faraway land and then bring back things. And
so
Richard, so I know, no, it's so, a really nice story. So basically, to cut the short story,
mm-hmm.
or this cut guy, the story,
this guy became rich.
To cut the story short, you're just messing up my words here.
So this guy became rich.
He sent the cat on this boat, and a king and queen somewhere far away had mice, and the cat got rid of the mice, and so they sent him this huge treasure chest full of gold in return for the cat.
Yes.
So anyway, he became Lord Mayor of London when he was an adult. He had all of this wealth, and basically,
somebody might be like, okay, so what does that have to do with marriage? And hold on, guys, it's coming, and I'm telling you, it's coming, because this guy became rich, right?
Yes.
But, and then he ended up getting married and all that stuff, and he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But what did he do? And, like, what did he do to change the trajectory of his family mm-hmm. tree? Because up to today, from what you told me, mm-hmm. up to today, people are actually enjoying a lot of the things that he put in place, and this was back in the 1400s.
Yes.
Yes.
In the 1300s.
1400s. So that's like more than 600 years ago.
Yes. So what he did was, yes, you're right. He started on a different path. He took the trajectory of continuing to build up on his wealth,
yes.
and he was giving to charity and all of that. And so even up to today, there's actually a free hospital where unwed mothers can go to have their baby. And also, I think there's a church and a bunch, just so many other things that he was able to have built and everything. But the whole point is just, it's the choice. He made a series of choices.
Yes. He made a series of choices, and because of the choices that he made and the decisions that he made more than 600 years ago, up to today, there's a lot of institutions and people in London, and now in extension, the world, who are enjoying going to some hospitals in London, I think St. Bartholomew's Hospital and St. Michael's Hospital and all these things. And I guess he's the one who started creating the fast drinking fountains in London and all that stuff. But people actually benefited for centuries, 6 centuries later, from the decisions that one person made more than 6 centuries ago. And that just shows you the power of the decisions that you are making right now in your life.
Yes. So the series of decisions that he made, and he developed a tendency of doing things that were completely different than apparently what his mom and dad originally did.
Yeah.
So the point we wanted to make is that you do have a huge, huge, huge influence on future generations to come. And you do have the power to decide what kind of path do I want to take? What is my destination? Where am I headed?
Yeah.
And I think Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind.
Ooh, yeah. Begin with the end in mind. What is that, number two on the seven habits of the highly successful people? I don't know, one of them, but it's like begin with the end in mind.
Right.
Yeah.
So, because it's not enough to just say, oh, yay, we got married, so now we're going to live happily ever after. It's not that simple.
No.
It's you can keep it pretty simple. You don't have to make it complicated like I did within the last half an hour.
It when you make it complicated.
You don't have to. You don't have to geek out on a list of synonyms like I do.
Oh, yeah, those ones. Can we go back to those ones? So there's trend. Like, where is your marriage trending towards?
Mm-hmm.
Tendency. What are the tendencies or the things you keep doing?
Mm-hmm.
Habits. The habits, the decisions. And I guess I'm finding out that the decisions we actually do engage in and we do actually are caused by your habits.
And an analogy that we can use is weight loss.
Okay.
For example, if I say, okay, well, I only eat cheeseburgers once in a while.
Yeah.
The problem with that is not only does it lead to a compound effect of weight gain, it's the decision I made. I actually decided that it's okay in the first place to eat cheeseburgers.
Okay, yeah.
So that's the point I want to make. There's a way, so if you switch back over to marriage, there's a way you can talk to your husband or you talk to your wife. You might say, well, I only yell at him once in a while. But it's the decision you made. You actually, it's your choice to believe, oh, you know what? It's not that bad to yell at him. It's okay, you know? So that is what can build up into a compound effect of we have a theme of fighting and disagreements in our marriage. And I read some blogger the other day said, oh, don't let people tell you that everyone fights because you're in your marriage, you're not supposed to fight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
What's that blogger's name?
I'm not going to say the name. Mm-hmm. It was submitted to HuffPost or something, I think. Mm-hmm. But
I think they're huffing something.
No, I don't remember their name, but the truth is, yes, you will disagree because that's just the result you get from having two people in the same room. Twins, as much as twins have in common, and they as much still, as twins love each other, they can still argue.
Oh, yeah.
So husband and wife can argue. They can still disagree. But what we don't want is we don't want a trend of things blowing up out of proportion, and then which develops to anger and resentment.
Yeah,
that's what we don't want, because resentment is a killer.
So you had said something about business, because we started the podcast with you saying marriage is like a business.
I didn't say marriage is like a business.
You wanted to make it a business.
No, I don't want to make it a business.
Because I love
either.
The transactions that we have in marriage.
No,
we're not going there. But
transactions. No, I said in business, we say that you need to have a vision so that you know where you're headed.
Yes.
Because especially if you're a small business owner, you have to ask yourself the question, what kind of impact do I want to have on my community? How much money do I want to make? How many clients do I want to have? So when I applied that in the context of marriage, my question was, what kind of life do I want to have with my spouse? What kind of impact do I want to have on future generations in my family? What kind of trend do I want among my relatives?
And what kind of trend do you want to have?
I want the trend of couples that stay together their whole lives.
So it sounds like you believe that every couple has a chance to be awesome and fulfilling.
Needless to say, yes, I do.
Okay.
Because it's a choice you make. You just decide what you want.
So you just decide that...
This is what I want.
You're going to have an awesome marriage.
Mm-hmm. You decide. And some people might put more emphasis on the word attitude. Mm-hmm. They might say, oh, well, attitude is everything.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. That's also another way you can look at this.
Yeah.
That's another huge part of it.
Until you meet somebody who says, you don't know my spouse.
You don't know my spouse.
You don't know what I live with.
Yeah.
What do you tell them?
Well, no, the clause that I always put in
mm-hmm.
is if your spouse is physically abusive
mm-hmm.
or if they're a serial cheater, this doesn't apply to you.
So they're way past the point of return?
No, I'm just saying that if someone's abusive, they need to get out of that as fast as they can.
But it has to be just physical abuse.
Verbal abuse is not good either.
But
emotional abuse.
So where do we draw the line?
Most of us are pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just saying that if you
get abused, if there's a physical abuse, definitely that's a line that we don't want to cross, right?
I'm mostly referring to those of us who have a chip on our shoulder for the tiny little things.
Mm-hmm.
And we hang on every word that our spouse says. And we get mad easily.
Okay.
That's what I'm mostly talking about. You have a choice in how you react.
Okay.
Which this whole philosophy basically revolves around the fact that you can prepare instead of repair.
Whoa, say that again.
You don't live by reacting. You are the one who acts.
Yes. So you prepare instead of repair.
Yeah.
Man. I want to prepare.
So folks, just to recap, as confusing as this might have been, I apologize, but let me tell you, the little bit of effort that you put into making the decision to stay together and stay on a path of peace, it is worth it. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, thank you very much.